Hello, welcome back to another episode of Spilling Louder Tea Under Cedar Trees with Kate and Mads.
do you know what our title is?
No, I've talked so much.
You know what? We should just like have a pre-recording of it and not even do it anymore.
I know, it's like we have all these buttons on this thing. We do not use them effectively.
No. How are you doing today?
I'm well, thank you. Excellent. How are you?
Ça va.
Why? This podcast will not come to you in French.
I'm all right. I'm not as tired as I thought I would be because, like, I don't know, man.
We're on day 8 of being together in person.
Yeah. How many more?
Yeah. No, it's like, get on that plane. I'm ready to the east.
My 2-week break. I'll see you in another 2 weeks.
You know what? I'm coming back for Lois.
Yeah.
Okay.
If she's still here.
She is. She told me she'll be here for 1 month. So I won the bet.
You won the bet.
I won the family bet.
Girl.
I know.
Congratulations.
I didn't even put money on it.
You should have. You could have made money.
I could have.
But that's exciting, though. Yeah, I could see grandma, too. So I'm thrilled.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
And she'll be at Uncle Bill's place. So
that's safe. We can go there, right?
Yeah. Okay. We're good. Yeah, it's the green zone. Green means go, as Jaden will say.
Green means go.
Yeah.
And red means
red doesn't exist.
It does not. Alrighty. So what are we doing today?
Today is the first official episode of season Trez.
We love season 3.
Yes, we do.
Distorted Past, Indigenous Stories of the Child Welfare System.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You are right.
Because I don't know if we've like officially said what the title is for season 3.
I have no idea.
I don't remember anymore. This is why we shouldn't put so much long pauses between recordings.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Or take notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hillary, take some notes. She's going to quit.
She is. But who do we have in the building today?
We have a very special friend. We've known this person for many years, and it's so exciting to have them in the studio with us.
We thought we were going to have you on for like a completely different episode. So, you know what? Welcome. Did you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Gaelicus Dochla, Sleilachwila, Nugoam, Sleilachwilaog, Gaelicunlacha, Muskimau, Lunamgis, Damamaliachla, the Squamish, Dilaxon, Dilaquangan, Hitman, Gigagasi, Joyce Moody, Thomas Whitley, Dalu, Doreen Shaughnessy Whitley, Hitman, Giga Gumpy, Herbert Lancaster, Lou Clifford Thomas Whitlet, Hitman, Umpy John Lancaster, Hitman, Abumpy Bambi Lancaster, Hitman, Sia Iksum Gilauk. So, Gaelicus Dochla, loved ones, for having me. My traditional name is Tlilitlilauk, and it roughly translates to one who has a gift of gathering people together. It comes from my Shaughnessy family from Wakeman Sound. So on my father's side, John, we all know John.
We do.
His family is the Shaughnessy's from Wakeman Sound, the Seaweeds from Mumptigula. We have a large family. And we also have connections to Alert Bay in Yalise and Village Island from my great-grand, Mabel Dawson, in Village Island. And on my mother's side, she also has connections to Village Island through her great-great-great-grandfather, Lacuse. And then she comes from the people of the Lekwungen here in Victoria, the Lyakson of Valdez Island, which is a small island off of Chimanis. And then as well as the Squamish in North Vancouver. Thank you for having me.
Of course. And I feel like out of all of that, her government name is Brandy.
Yes. Sorry.
Such beautiful information. I was like, Brandy.
Yes.
Yes.
I always forget to add that.
That's okay.
You know what? That's totally fine. But I was like, I did not practice your traditional name enough for me to call you by it. But also, I didn't know what the translation was for it. That's so beautiful. And that really does, like, that fits you.
That's Brandy.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Welcome.
But yeah, did you want to tell us maybe what your role is at Surrounded by Cedar?
Oh, yeah. So I've been with Surrounded by Cedar for about 5 years now, as of October. Previous to the current role that I hold, I was the cultural support worker for Surrounded. And we did a lot of amazing programming for youth and children in care. So things like when youth turn 19 and they quote unquote age out of the foster care system, which is all scary because you're not an adult at 19.
No.
Surrounded always hosts a beautiful nest to wing ceremony. So they're leaving the nest, but also like uplifting them and letting them know that these people that are present here for you are always going to be here.
Yeah.
And our doors never actually close for you, irregardless of what the government says. And then some fun things that we do, like spring and summer camps for the kids. We also do like, they did some land-based education. So we took kids out onto the land for like a week. And we did two cohorts because it was still COVID times. And we went hunting on Sydney Island.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was crazy. Some crazy stories about that. but yeah, one of our youth like shot a seal from a boat.
That's wild.
Oh my gosh, you have to move so fast when you get a nut sick. Holy.
Yeah, it was crazy. And like, so they like butchered it and like saved the hide and like all these cool things and like learned all the things.
Oh my God.
Like how to like fillet it. I don't know if you fillet a seal, but and then they were like crabbing and stuff like that and like learning how to skipper a boat. So it was like super cool opportunities. And when I went out with my cohort, we actually went hunting at night and like it was the wildest experience ever because it's pitch black. You can't see anything. But then we found a patch of like deer chilling in a field because it's like overrun by deer over there. And so you're allowed to hunt there. And so when we were hunting, all you could see was their eyes. And then one of the more experienced fellas took a shot. And then all you see is like the embers from the gun. And I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. But yeah, so that's that. Yeah. Those are the kinds of experiences that the kids get. Other things include like camping out on the land for a week, stuff like that. Pro D day camps. Those were always fun. And then like once a month they would also host like something called Building Our Bundles, which is like the idea is to like bring in cultural teachings and it's open to community as well. But it's a different topic every month. So cool things like that. We've done like drum making with the kids and stuff like that and medicine making and regalia nights as well. It's another big thing. Because like a lot of us that grew up in family have had the privilege to be gifted regalia from relatives or have the chance to make it ourselves, which is really great. But a lot of the kids don't have those opportunities when they're in care.
Yeah.
Because they're so disconnected from family and relatives. So regalia nights was super important to host for our kids. And it was a big honor to be a part of that project. And I saw some young women making ribbon skirts and they were like adding pockets and and they were like, well, I'm also urban. So they were like going to like upcycle and like add like cool like cargo pockets from like pants from the thrift store.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it's just really cool to see them like blossom and thrive with the project and like build on their skills that they never had before. And so now they can go out and like into the world and like make their own ribbon skirt for another occasion if they want. So it's been super cool. And we bring in knowledge keepers and from different territories to reflect the children's lineages. And then that's basically all the stuff I experienced as cultural support worker.
Yeah.
And then moving forward to now, as of December this year, it'll be 1 year since I started the Lifeline Connections worker role. And basically what that is I have the privilege to connect kids to family in a different capacity. So I'm working on like cultural safety agreements, which is like an agreement between the nation and our basically our guardianship worker team. Mm-hmm. And so the CSAs are imperative in ensuring that our children will be connected to resources, people, culture, and their communities. Mm-hmm. And then there's a whole bunch of fun stuff in there.
I can imagine.
but the nation has to sign off on it. And that's one of the cool things I like, is because like after I write them, I take a draft to like guardianship and I take a draft to the nation. I'm like, how does this look, guys? Is this all right? And they're like, yeah, I like that. I'm like, all right, here we go. Mm-hmm. What else do? I build genograms for children and youth, mm-hmm. which has been super cool. Mm-hmm. That has been like one of the favorite parts of my job. And if people don't know what a genogram is, it's basically a large family tree.
Yeah.
Mm. And I'm like a nerd when it comes to it, because like I'm really good at finding people.
Okay. Detective Brandy over here.
Yeah. but I've been able to track down relatives from like 1600s to now.
Holy. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That was like the craziest tree. And it was like the way it printed though, because the program is really old, it like was like 50 pages, but you have to like put it together like a map.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God.
It was so cool. But yeah, and then I get to like present it to like children and families and like be like, hey, this is your family. Look at it. Look how big it is.
Yeah. Oh.
It's precious. And then I do all the things.
You do all the things.
Yeah. You do such great things. Oh my God. Okay, so I knew like a good portion of that, but okay, this genogram thing, can you do one for me? Because goddamn.
I know, right?
Kate's got it on sticky notes so far. But
I do.
Like,
yeah.
That's wild.
That's so cool.
Can send you some links.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That work is so important, though.
It is.
Yeah.
It really is. I have a question. Mm-hmm. That's not the question that I sent you earlier.
Oh. Yeah. We're going rogue.
We are. Okay. But it's not wild or anything. what made you want to work with our youth in care?
Oh, that's a good question.
Good question. Excellent question.
Background story for anyone that doesn't know,
mm-hmm.
Kate and I met mm-hmm. in the Indigenous Family Support Program at Camosun College back in the day.
Hell yeah, we did.
We're both rejects for an internship.
Hell yeah, we did.
You missed it. They air high fived each other from across the room.
It's funny because she was in the class
mm-hmm.
and we had to like introduce ourselves, and then we're like, hey.
I recognize you.
Do I know you?
Were you that girl in the lobby? You didn't get in either? No.
That's why.
What a beautiful start to a friendship. You got rejected. I got rejected.
We didn't need the internship anyways.
Let's be friends forever.
Yep.
Basically. Here we are.
Yeah.
But yeah, through that program, we had to do practicums. And I don't remember where you did your practicums, but I was at James Bay Elementary for a hot minute.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back and I did workshops with them.
Cute.
After the practicum. And then I did my second practicum at Surrounded by Cedar.
Mm-hmm.
I was like a shark. I was like, I'm going there. No one else is going.
I distinctly remember
that. You're like, everyone sit down.
You're like, that's mine. Oh my God.
So then I really enjoyed working with the team and learning from them at that point. And I was like, you guys do really cool work. Like, how do you work here? And they're like, well, we'll see how things go. We're trying to like see if we can get like some other like positions mm-hmm. For the fall. And then like lo and behold, like it was like the stars aligned and there was like this cultural support worker position posted. Mm-hmm. And I was like, to Rolando, I was like, I'm gonna apply, I'm gonna see if they'll like take me on. And then I did the interview and I got it. So
amazing.
We love a full circle moment.
We do.
Yeah,
we do.
It's important. No, that's, I mean, okay, one, we've all done the Indigenous Family Support Program.
We have.
Who hasn't? But yeah, it's interesting, like, the avenues that you can go from that. And I think it's interesting that they always stick us in schools.
Nope.
Except for you. Whatever. Almost everybody else I know had to go and do a practicum at a school.
Our whole class got to go in the school except for me. There was like 20 people.
They said, not for you. Yeah, they're like, because you're the same size as the children. How are you going to defend yourself?
They wouldn't listen to kids.
No. There's no authority there.
I kept sticking with you teenagers. Oh, that's weird. I got given with teenagers, and then my first practicum was at the Mustard Seed.
Oh, that's
so
right.
Working with people who were living on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, but I think it's interesting that that's kind of like where they stick the majority of us. Yeah. They're like, go and get a practicum at school. And you're like, but I want to support families. Not that you can't do that through the school system, because like EAs are very important. They are very vital. They have a very vital role within the school system.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're like, this isn't the direct work I wanted to be doing. Like, this is only a portion of like helping and supporting families. Yeah. So it's like, it's interesting to see that that's a preference for sticking people versus like putting us in like Helene and Niltwa and all that stuff. And a lot of these spaces where you're like, where you would actually get to see, because like this is, it's just a certificate. Like, it was supposed to encourage you to potentially go on and maybe go get a social work degree. Like, this was like those steps to keep building. And
yeah.
And they're like, well, technically with this single certificate, you could just get into the school system and work as an EA. And then people are like, okay, cool. And then like, that's it.
Or they're like, or you are like Brandy and you get into like a designated agency.
Yeah.
And they're like, and now you're basically a baby social worker. And you're like, oh, okay.
Three?
You're like, sick.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's either one or the
other.
Most
needs to get it together and start like.
We have a lot of ideas.
Diversifying the practicum that we're sending into.
We can also do curriculum development.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. I think is it a diploma program now?
It should be.
That's completely separate. But anyways. That's
neither here nor there.
I don't know. Meg is leading that program though now.
Ooh,
oh, nice.
Good and for it her. Is now called the Indigenous Wellness Worker Program.
Interesting.
They changed it.
Okay,
that's valid. Well, it's kind of hard to explain like what's the family support. And you're like, what isn't family support?
Exactly. You know? Exactly. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Again,
did I answer your question though?
Neither here nor there. Not quite. Okay. But that's okay.
you sprinkled.
Yeah.
You were okay. Like, what triggered
the passion?
What was the passion that you were gonna fight your other classmates?
I just went off and I told a story like my dad.
John's always welcome in the room.
Shout out to Dad. I think. What actually like was the light was like seeing the work being done and the way that people practice in the office. Mm-hmm. And then seeing all the different programming that they offer. Mm-hmm. 'Cause like not a lot of people know what Serenity Seder does, I don't think.
No.
Like out in the world.
Yeah.
Unless you're like in the nucleus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was, I can't remember exactly what the moment was, but it might have been, I think it might have been when they hired me for the summertime in between the practicum and like interviewing for the job.
Yep.
And they hired me on as cultural support worker for their summer camp. And I'd never been camping before, ever in my life. And, you know, I'm like 25 at the time, and there's a bunch of teenagers and they actually listened to me, but I also got to listen to them and like hear their stories and like hang out with them, get to know them, and I was like, this is a really cool work. And they were just like, it was nice to see them like all hang out on the beach, out on the land, and like just like hanging out and being kids. And I was like, I really want to be a part of this kind of work, because like our children and youth, whether you're in care or not, deserve to have normal like life experiences that other people get to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I've been sticking sticking with this line of work. And like, I never thought I would be able to handle this kind of work just because of all the things that also go on in the back, mm-hmm. like the harder work, because it can get heavy in this line of work. And yeah, I just keep sticking around because like these kids need somebody to look out for them. Mm-hmm. And I want to be one of those people. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, we just want to keep our kids safe, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
No, that's such a big thing. And I think it's always been like the aging out has always been like a huge part too of that mm-hmm. idea of, I think they've just recently, or they're in the process of changing it to bumping it to 21.
Yeah.
Just because like 19, are you kidding me? I lived with my parents till I was 23. Like yeah. I yeah. just, yeah. I was still yeah. going to school, and like, there's that expectation of like, you're in the system, you're doing well, like you're just trying to be a normal kid, and then you're like, I want to go through that motion of like going to college or going to university, and you're like mm-hmm. there's that expectation that like, okay, now I have to like figure out how to be an adult on my own and go to school full-time and potentially work on top of that. And I yeah. was like, couldn't imagine doing that without having that support system. And I know that like Surrounded by Cedar is like one of those really important groups that are going to be there to provide that support and like at least resources that you yeah. know the youth can fall back on and like access to be able to just live their lives. And I just yeah, that is really beautiful work and
so important.
Thank you for doing that work yeah. for sure, because yeah, the kids need it and we need to know about it.
We do need to know about it,
lift you guys up and everything you're doing and support the work.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. we know how important it is, because we had parents that didn't have that love.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They didn't have that cultural support. I mean, high school, like my mom, I think in high school was that was the only time like she ever really was starting to be told or at least shown. And then it's a conversation that Caitlin and I have had before of growing up on the West Coast of like, we want to honor the hosts, but mm-hmm. at the same time, that means we never get to learn our own culture mm-hmm. because our culture, our language are not going to be taught here, seeing as this yeah. is not our lands.
Yeah.
So my mom kind of was found out that she was, at the time it was Mi'kmaq, and that was spelled M-I-C. M-A-C.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Mi'kmaq.
And so, like, didn't get to learn, like, properly pronouncing, like, Mi'kmaq and, like, where.
The Q what, and, the, yeah. and the W?
Yeah, just yeah. none of that. So, yeah. So, I think, yeah, it's so cool that, like, you guys get, like, diverse elders from, like, mm-hmm. different nations coming and being able to connect. And
it's really great.
Yeah.
It's so, I imagine it's, like, really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so important for the kids. And I think the elders too, like yeah. getting to come in and interact with the youth that way.
Yeah, because then you think about like how other cultures, like when say like grandchildren are born, mm-hmm. they go and live with their grandparents.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. that's very much how we are, like up in Kwok territory. Mm-hmm. Usually, the firstborn grandchild goes to the grandparents.
Oh, you're mine.
That's like I would say that's an old practice though, but like I think it still happens in like a more like modern day context where mm-hmm. they spend a lot of time with their grandparents. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just seeing the interactions between children and youth and elders is pretty fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they listen. We don't think they're listening, but they are.
Because
mm-hmm. I've run into a couple of youth and I don't think they're listening, then they'll say something really deep and insightful, and I'm like, whoa. What? There have been a couple times where I've been stunned, and I'm like, did that just happen? Yes, it did.
Mm-hmm. No, it's so important.
Right? Mm-hmm. Another random big question. Please feel free to answer it to whatever you feel comfortable. What more do you think needs to be done within the system? Or at least, what more do you think how else do you think Surrounded by Cedar can grow to be able to support?
Or the government.
Yeah, mostly the government.
Policy? We're talking about policy?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the government.
Hell yeah, talk about the government.
Yeah.
giving jurisdiction to our children back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, giving us jurisdiction over our children, what happens and where they end up, because a lot of our kids are urban.
Yeah.
We don't all have the privilege to live in our homelands mm-hmm. because of like resources or educational mm-hmm. opportunities. And that's why a lot of us move to the bigger cities is because we can't live at home.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, I just really think they need to reinvest money back into our people mm-hmm. and allowing us to make decisions around what happens to our children and youth. Because right now we don't have a whole lot.
Yeah.
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 And also maybe like putting money into like preventative like work.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people talk about the trauma that the children's experienced while they're in the child welfare system, but nobody talks about the trauma that the parents experience after having their children torn from their arms.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I can't even imagine having that happen.
Yeah.
What goes through your mind during that moment? What goes through the child's mind, but what happens to the parents after, and what resources are out there for them to get their children back?
Yeah.
So I think that answers your question.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. And you're totally right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, you got to look at it, the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's impacted by this.
Yeah.
When it happens. And I feel like, yeah, the government really focuses on like one particular part of the story. And you're like, cool, but what about everyone else involved?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And two of like, can we stop trying to fight this out in court?
Mm-hmm.
This is exhausting. And it's a, I have to phrase this carefully. It's not healing work.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the burden upon the nations and the families is just incredible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like, I was going to say something. Can't remember now.
It's okay.
It'll come back.
Yeah.
Circle back.
Yeah. No. It's just, it's insane. Because like, no one also like wants their children to be taken away. Like,
no one
like wakes up and be like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore.
Exactly.
And if that happens, they usually have family that are like, I will take your baby. Like,
and I raise it as my own.
Right? Yeah. Like, we had traditional ways of like
taking care
spreading,
of our kids.
Like spreading out the responsibility. Mm-hmm. So that way it's like, there was no overwhelm in that sense.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was supporting everyone.
Exactly.
You had multiple mothers.
So many aunties.
So many.
They're everywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
You remember?
I remember now.
Yep.
I was going to say that I feel like the way that, and I'm trying to be careful too with my words, the way that I feel that the child welfare system is composed, mm-hmm. I feel like there's not enough emphasis on seeing how parents change over the years mm-hmm. while trying to get their children back. Mm-hmm. I feel like they focus on all the past. Mm-hmm. They don't focus on the present and the work that has been done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because people do healing work all the time. Mm-hmm. And just because you don't see it right away doesn't mean it's not happening.
Yeah.
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 So totally. I think we need to revisit and rejig how we see how our people are healing.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are in that time where we're reclaiming, we're revitalizing cultures, we're bringing back traditional practices of how our families work and our kinship systems.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that, you know, the government smartens up a little bit and like sees how
one can
how
hope.
We're working.
Oh my gosh. You know, that's always the goal.
That's all we ask, really. just for the government to smarten up.
Can you just listen to us for once? My God.
Enough? No.
Sit down.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. What's been, you've worked at the agency for a long time now, mm-hmm. but what's one of your favorite memories?
My favorite memory is actually the hunting trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because on the way back, we had to cut our cohort trip short because there was a storm coming in And we're on this, like, maybe, like, 25-foot, like, boat. It's not very big. We just grabbed our, like, necessities and, like, grab your jacket and, like, let's go. We got to go kind of a thing. Yeah. Crab traps are still in the ocean. We'll grab them later.
We'll come back for them.
We'll grab our supplies when the waters calm down. And we were riding the waves.
Mm-hmm.
So picture, like, choppy water. It's windy. It's cold. And I'm sitting at the front with another youth, and I got two behind me, and then, like, the skipper and his son, who I've known for years as well. And they're like, okay, we're going to hit this big wave. And I was like, oh, no. And, like, anyone knows me knows I can't actually swim. And I was like, okay. And we go up, and then the boat goes down with the wave, and then another wave is coming at us as we're coming down. And I was like, that's a really big wave, oh my god. And I was like, holding on, there's nothing to hold on to, really. And I'm like, trying to hold on for dear life and, like, stay cool for the kids, right? Because, like, don't show fear. And they're like, oh my god. And then the girl beside me is like, that's a really big wave. And I was like, oh no, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. And I'm like, oh my god.
Just dying inside. Then
the wave hits the boat at the front. And then all this water comes in. And they're like, get the water out. And I was like, I don't have anything. And the boys are bailing in the back. And then I was like, the fellow's name is Wade. I'm like, Wade? Is it a really bad time to tell you that I'm afraid of water and I can't swim?
Not wearing life jackets. Where's the life?
What's your guys' insurance?
It was totally safe.
Yeah. It was totally fine.
Oh my God. But we finally got to land, and we're all soaked, obviously. Get back to land. I tell my coworker, I was like, you have a gum, do you? And she's like, a what? I was like, you have a cigarette? I don't smoke. I go off and I go walk away from the kids, because, like, we don't promote smoking. And I was like, I need this, though, because I was a wreck.
Really, my life flashed before my eyes.
It literally did.
I need a cigarette.
My coworker's like, are you okay? And I was like, I will be. Give me five.
It was like, 1 second.
Never got a lighter.
Never had the urge to smoke a day in my life, but today is that day.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
Rolando's always like, you didn't almost die, because I'm really dramatic. I'm like, remember the time I almost died? And he's like, you didn't almost die. And I was like, felt like it.
Yeah.
Such a Pisces.
But felt like I died.
That's incredible.
I love that.
I like how that's your favorite memory. Like, I cried that day, but it's one of my favorite memories.
I needed a cigarette to walk away from the youth.
You're on your own for a minute.
You guys warm up. Go change your clothes.
Yeah. I'm going to take a deep breath over here.
Oh, my God.
That's also the thing, though. Like, when you go on trips with youth, they're like,
so stressful.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Everybody put your hands and your feet inside the vehicle, please, at all times.
I don't want to be a mean person ever, but, like, during those times, I'm, like, yelling at the kids. I'm like,
sit down.
Get down.
Yeah.
You stick together.
Yeah.
My mom voice comes out, mm-hmm, when it's a certain time of the day. So, like, every summer camp, never failed. Oh, like, 1:30, 2 o'clock. Like, they go home at 3. I'm like, hey, enough. What did I tell you? No. You said no. Yeah, I said no.
Right? Like, you had us in the first half.
Yeah.
You're losing me.
No, I'm teetering now.
Yeah.
All right?
When are your parents coming?
Like, yeah. They can take you home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Honestly, is there anything else you want to share, or any other thoughts?
I don't I don't have too many other stories. I mean, I have stories.
Like, I have stories.
I don't want to take up too much time.
No, it's all good.
No, it's been so nice getting to hear your stories mm-hmm. and like the passion you have for the work that you do and just like how important the work that you do is, and it deserves and needs to be highlighted.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. And we might have you come back and share some fun stories again for one of our filler episodes too.
Oh yeah, totally.
Some more uplifting stories.
Yeah.
More times Brandy had to have a cigarette.
Don't call it that.
That's the episode title right there.
Yeah. The one with the cigarette.
These would be hilarious titles for such a serious season.
Yeah. And people are going to be like, Madeline, you stop.
Your jingles aren't working.
They're not. No. It's not appropriate. Not a good time.
Oh my gosh.
Well, Alan, Galakasa, for coming and sharing your stories. And yeah, we're so glad you could come.
And also being the first one to interview in the studio.
Yes.
I know. I feel so fancy. Yes.
Right?
You are fancy.
Your friend was like out there. She was like, this is the first time we've been here. And I was like, oh. And Jenna was like, yeah, don't they record on the couch?
Yep. You're not wrong.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That is most definitely usually what occurs. Yeah. But we have this space and we're going to use it. Great. We're going to use it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is an awesome place.
Great.
Mm-hmm. We're very lucky.
Yeah. Alrighty.
All right. Where can you find us?
You can find us on all major podcasting platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Podcast.
You just made up a new one. Yeah.
I raised both hands. I'm not having a stroke. And you can also usually, but we are updating our website.
Yes, we are.
But if you want to listen to season two, you can find all those episodes on our website at spillingtea.land. You should follow us.
Please do.
On Instagram at Spilling Tea.
For the love of God. Spilling Tea Pod. Yeah.
Look up Spilling Tea. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. That's my job.
But we encourage you to like, subscribe, rate.
Please, 5 stars.
Yeah. And we hope to have you back.
Yeah. So see you later.
Namoltis.